Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 930 AM, and 1270 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m., 930 a.m., and 1270 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
You may have heard about the Year of Mercy starting last December and continuing until the end of December this year. You probably saw Archbishop Supich opening the Holy Door at Holy Name Cathedral, or Pope Francis proclaiming this a Jubilee Year of Mercy. But what does that mean? I'm Kim Haggerty.
And I'm Frank Hannigan, and you're listening to Marriage and Family Matters, where we are talking today with Deacon Keith Strome, the Director of the Office of the New Evangelization. Welcome, Keith.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So, Keith, why don't we get started to let our listeners know a little bit about you. You've been with the Archdiocese now for how many months?
About 6 months. I began July 1st.
Okay, July 1st. So, well, welcome to the Archdiocese on role as well. And could you tell our folks a little bit about the Office for New Evangelization? What are your responsibilities? Sounds like it's an important title.
Sure. The Office for the New Evangelization really focuses on three things. I think one, helping the Archdiocese as a whole communicate and articulate a vision for evangelization and what evangelization is. The second thing is really helping other agencies in the Archdiocese, keeping mission and keeping the proclamation of the gospel, I think, at the center of their work. I think the most important thing that we do really is helping parishes become centers of evangelization, communities where the love of Christ can be proclaimed and lived out. And so we want to really be able to partner with those parishes and help them in whatever way they need.
Okay, so a definition of evangelization, you would bring it down to spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, helping people to learn more about God. What would be your elevator pitch on that?
You know, it's an interesting question because I think the church talks about a whole evangelization process, which is really all-encompassing of the Christian journey. But I think to really talk about evangelization in a way that most people mean it, it's really about helping others encounter Christ in such a way that they give themselves to Him as disciples, and then as their lives are transformed, they go out and live as Christ for other people.
Super. Well, thank you. You have a lot of work ahead of you.
Thanks.
So you want to tell us a little bit about why certain years are called Jubilee years?
Yes, that's really interesting. It's very biblical. Every 50 years, as the Israelites would gather together every 50 years on the Day of Atonement, they would celebrate a Jubilee year. And during that Jubilee year, prisoners could be released from prison, slaves could be freed, and actually all debts could be erased. And so that was sort of a major celebration. And when Jesus, when he went to the synagogue and he read from the scrolls of Isaiah to declare his ministry, he said he came to declare a year of favor, you know, a jubilee year. And so as far back now as the 14th century, the church has celebrated a jubilee year every 25 to 50 years. They'll designate a jubilee year. And so the last one we had was the year 2000 jubilee, the third millennium. And so I think it's pretty exciting that Pope Francis has now called for a jubilee of mercy at this time in 2015 and now 2016.
And so why a jubilee of mercy? It seems that's one of his key concepts or themes through his pontificate so far.
Yeah, and I think this is what's exciting to me personally and to the work I do about what Pope Francis has really been living and speaking about is this concept of mercy, which is at the heart of the gospel message, which is that God's love and God's care for us is so great that he's come down himself to give his life for us. And so because that was freely given to us, now we are to freely give our lives away to other people. And so this Jubilee Year of Mercy, the Lord is really going to work through the church. And I think Pope Francis recognizes that and heard that call and is calling us now to a greater way of living that out.
And so if we're going to break it down a little more personally, so how would we show mercy in our everyday lives?
Yes. I feel like I'm about to break out a really big quote from Thomas Aquinas, but only because I researched it before I came on the air. You know, Thomas Aquinas talks about mercy. When he talks about mercy, he defines it as the compassion in our hearts for the suffering of others, or he uses the word misery of others. And so it's a compassion that moves us to do what we can for the person who's suffering. And so in a very real way, we can begin to look around us. I think a lot of times in our everyday lives, we don't recognize the suffering that is going on. And so this Jubilee of Mercy is really calling us to look and see who is really suffering. And it doesn't always have to be, you know, somebody who's suffering externally. You might see somebody who is sick or ill in some way or might be homeless. It's important, obviously, to reach out to those folks. But, you know, in our own families, in our own neighborhoods and the people that we meet at the store, people are carrying great burdens. They're suffering. And so to really be present to them, and I think that's what Pope Francis talks a lot about and lives, to be present and to allow ourselves to enter into that suffering. I think we can do that in very practical ways.
Mm-hmm. That ministry of accompaniment that Pope Francis talks about, certainly when somebody is in misery or somebody is suffering in some kind of way, simply to be present, as you said, with them to help mitigate the pain or to help them through the situation that they're dealing with would be an important way of showing mercy. And, you know, we deal with family so much in our office. I would think that families would be such a key place to begin showing mercy to one another. Husbands and wives, parents and their children, siblings. I grew up with an older sister and five younger brothers. We had plenty of reason to show mercy to each other after we were not so nice to each other. And I don't know about your families, but at least in the Hannigan family.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I think of what John Paul II called families, you know, a school of love. And I think sometimes, you know, our families, oftentimes our families aren't always living out that reality to its fullness. And I think that the family as the place where, as the domestic church would be a place where mercy is often most needed. I have a five-year-old daughter. She'll be five in January 11th. And she can go from being the just most precious, you know, most loving person that I know to this sort of raging cyclone. And so often I am called to act merciful even when I'm dealing with my own frustration. And I think that really meets that definition of learning how to be merciful, learning how to love in families.
Well, they give us plenty of opportunities, absolutely.
And that's a good example of how you are merciful in your own family. How about between a husband and a wife? How can you show mercy between a husband and a wife? We work with a lot of married couples and engaged couples, getting them ready for marriage.
I would know I'm in a perfect relationship with wife.
Oh, yes, so are we.
And your wife is coming in next to talk about this. Okay. So I don't know if there's anything you'd like to maybe make up.
No, but now I have to go to confession. I almost every day, I was asked a question during deacon formation about what will the sacrament of holy matrimony, how will that shape how you will be as a deacon? And I said, you know, marriage is also a school of service. And so there's opportunities every day for me to reach out to my wife and to show mercy, even as simple as when she's sick, taking care of her. And so I think that we need to begin to do that more and more in our families, especially between husbands and wives.
We're taking a break here on Relevant Radio 950 AM in Chicago. We'll be right back.
A difference. We can make a difference.
Do you work with young people and would you like to motivate them to be a part of the culture of life? Hi, I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, Respect Life Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. For the first time ever, we're planning a youth rally for life. On Sunday, January 17th, we're inviting young people to join together at St. Ignatius College Prep High School. You'll enjoy a morning of prayer, music, and an inspirational talk by Steve Angrisano, a dynamic Catholic speaker, composer, and singer.
Make a difference in the world.
The morning will end with a celebration of Mass, which will send forth attendees to the March for Life Chicago at Federal Plaza. For more information and for your free tickets, go to our website at respectlifechicago.org. That's respectlifechicago.org. Join us for the day as we unite in one voice to build a culture of life.
In the world.
During his visit to the U.S., Pope Francis called us to cooperate generously for the common good. Through the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, we lift up our Holy Father's message of walking with the poor. You can join the efforts made by CCHD by donating during the annual collection weekend on November 21st and 22nd. Visit chicagopeaceandjustice.org/CCHD to learn how you can contribute to ending poverty.
This is Frank Hannigan, and I'm back with Kim Haggerty on Marriage and Family Matters, Relevant Radio 950 AM in Chicago. And today we're talking with Deacon Keith Strom about mercy. And before the break, Keith, we were talking about the relationship of mercy to marriage. And you were mentioning that, you know, having a sick spouse certainly gives you one an opportunity to be merciful and to accompany your spouse as they're dealing with their illness.
Yeah, well, I was just also thinking another definition, you know, of mercy really is not treating somebody as they deserve to be treated, you know. And there are times in any relationship, and in particularly marriage, I think of my own marriage, where I'm surprised at how I act. I'm surprised at sometimes frustrations or stress sort of gets in the way. And I can really be abrupt sometimes. I can be short. And what I'm amazed at is that my wife, in the way she reacts to me with mercy and love, calls me then to a kind of a deeper response. And I think when both of the spouses in marriage are acting merciful, it's sort of a cycle of deepening love and deepening mercy. And I think we really need that. The 21st century has so many challenges for families and marriages, and kind of having that foundation of love and mercy, I think, is so critical. But it requires a real choice. And so one of the things that we have to do in those relationships, I think, is look beyond just the initial emotional response. And remember always that love is a choice and mercy is a choice.
Sure. And, you know, we work with engaged couples, as Kim was saying before. And I think it's something where they need to understand the idea of mercy. Marriages are either getting better or they're getting worse. And if you're having a cycle where you are showing mercy to each other, then more and more mercy is shown and the relationship is strengthened, as opposed to when we're short with each other and not being kind or merciful. I'm not a scripture scholar, but I understand that the phrase an eye for an eye shows up in the Bible like three times, but the word mercy approximately 3,000 times. I think it's pretty clear that we are to be people of mercy.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, again, the beautiful thing about mercy, kind of showing mercy as a family, is that it radiates out too. I'm always surprised at what my daughter picks up and what, you know, she's aware of as my wife and I have frank conversations.
This is your five-year-old daughter?
My five-year-old daughter, you know.
They're hearing everything.
And I think that's true of the world around us. I think that when families really are radiating mercy and showing mercy, I think that's a light to those around us and in many ways countercultural.
And don't you think when you're married and you're kind of fighting with your spouse or feeling like you're doing more than she is or, you know, or than he is, and suddenly, even though you're feeling that, you try to be nicer to them, that everything changes?
It's almost as if the decision to be merciful almost clears the atmosphere. That's really what I found. And I believe it's because, you know, God is in that mercy, obviously. You know, that mercy is an attribute of God. And so when we intentionally enter into that, now the grace of the sacrament of matrimony can really kind of come to play in a relationship and in a family.
My husband and I were on a vacation one time, and I was giving him this big lecture about how I didn't have to be with him. I chose to be with him. I didn't need anybody, but I chose to be married to him. I went on, and then I fell in a mud puddle and lost my shoe, and my foot went down in it, and he had to pull me out of it. And he was so nice to me about it when he thought I was being such a brat and going on, and here he was, and he was so nice, and I just thought, that is really a kind guy. I really picked the right guy to be married to. He showed mercy to me at that time.
Praise God.
Deacon Keith has some resources on his website, www.jubileemercy.org, and it's got a lot of really good ideas, including 22 spiritual practices, you know, that we could try out during this year of mercy. So we thought maybe we could go over a few of them for suggestions on how we could participate in the
year. Sure. Yeah, I think it's important, you know, in order to really enter into mercy, we have to enter into the reality that we have been saved by a God who loves us. And so the heart of that is relationship with Christ and therefore relationship with others. And so these spiritual practices really focus on bringing us closer to Jesus. And as we grow closer to him, we grow closer then to other people, including the strangers around us, and not just our family. And so that's really what these spiritual practices are trying to get at. I think, you know, one of the first ones that we have on there, Lectio Divina, or sacred reading, is so important because it allows us to sit with the Word of God. And that's really what Lectio Divina is sort of sitting with the Word of God, allowing the Scriptures to just wash over us. So a real nice way of doing this is just picking one short paragraph or one little section from Scripture and not reading it for comprehension in a sense, but reading it prayerfully. And that means reading it slowly, going over it several times, and then just noting what words pop out. If we gathered 15 or 20 people in a room, and I've done this before, and I've had them read the same passage of Scripture, almost all of them will pick different ones that have popped out because the Lord is speaking to us in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so we need to really cultivate that more as disciples. And so I would really recommend that is so important. And I'm kind of looking through the list. Fasting, I think, as a spiritual principle. And, you know, I think Eucharistic adoration is – I can't think of anything better outside of the Mass – in which to participate in and just allow ourselves to be before the Lord who has created us and who loves us, and to allow not just to say our prayers, but allow Jesus then in the Blessed Sacrament to speak to us, speak to our hearts. And in that way, we grow more and more like him. And I think it's a wonderful practice. I think for 21st century people whose lives are so busy, even just spending 5 or 10 minutes, I always tell people, don't make a holy hour just yet. I mean, not that I think holy hours are bad, but if you're not used to Eucharistic adoration or extended periods of time, make a holy 10 minutes. And sometimes just being in silence away from all the distractions and in front of Jesus can be transformative.
You know, I take a look at the three that you mentioned, Lectio Divina, the fasting and Eucharistic adoration, and I think each one of them has their quietness, that stillness. Mm-hmm. We talk so much. I talk so much.
You know, I talk a lot, too.
You know, to maybe be a little bit quieter, let the Lord come to you instead of doing all the talking.
I think actually one of the things that a lot of people wrestle with as I speak with Catholics is they don't necessarily have a sense of how to go about praying outside of what they normally do. So
we talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, why don't you hold that thought, Deacon Keith. And we'll be back in a couple minutes on Marriage and Family Matters here on AM 950, Relevant Radio in Chicago.
right, everybody, let's pray the rosary.
Don't forget to say grace.
We have to do what God wants us to do.
My mom laid the foundations for me to discover God.
How does this bring you closer to God?
The path to holiness is in doing God's will.
If you are called to be a priest, that's how you will be fulfilled.
My mom helped me get through difficulties in my discernment.
Think of the big picture.
Keep things in perspective.
Are you praying?
My mom played a huge role in my journey to the priesthood.
She still does.
Our moms nurture our vocations.
Without my mom being who she is, there's no chance I'd have entered the seminary.
My mom says she had a feeling I would be a priest.
To hear the call of God, we need to be in a position to hear it.
Hearing God starts at home, with the family.
Thank you, Mom.
I would not be at the seminary if it wasn't for you.
Our seminarians were encouraged by their parents to discover God's call in their lives. Do you encourage your son? St. Joseph College Seminary, the best place to discern. For more information, visit cometojoseph.org.
Calling all seniors, it's never too late to be a teenager. Puzzles, recipes, birthdays, memories, and much more are found in the Teenager newspaper. Teenager News is published for senior citizens as an outreach ministry of Catholic Charities. Subscribe for free by calling 312-655-7425. That's 312-655-7425 or email teenager@catholiccharities.net. That's teenager with a K, teenager@catholiccharities.net.
You're listening to Marriage and Family Matters on Relevant Radio 950 AM in Chicago. And Kim and I are talking with Deacon Keith Strome about the Year of Mercy. And just before we went to break, we were starting to touch on some of the spiritual practices and how listening would be part of those. Deacon Keith, some other spiritual practices that maybe some of our listeners would be interested in.
Sure. I think looking down here, even living the sacramental principle, I mean, this is something that is so key. It's what sets apart in many ways Catholicism from other religions is the sense that God communicates with us through the world around us as well. I mean, you think about the way in which in Scripture Jesus, when he would heal people, he might take some mud and he would mix it with his own saliva and he would put it on somebody's ear or over their eyes. And so God uses the world around us to communicate to us. So even spending some time just reflecting on creation can be a way to help us move closer to Christ. And as we do that, then we move closer to other people. And one of the things that I find to be exceptionally important is the Ignatian Examen. Just at the end of the day, taking some time to reflect on what were the opportunities that we had to live as a disciple? What were the opportunities we had to grow closer to Christ? And where did we succeed and where do we need some additional help? And just really offering that whole thing to God. I mean, bookending the day with sort of the morning offering and the Examen, it's just a wonderful way of framing the whole day to be centered on Christ.
Well, we really appreciate your coming up with some practical advice for things we can do to participate in the Year of Mercy. What else is the Archdiocese offering for this Jubilee of Mercy?
So there are a number of things we have, and I would recommend people interested in all of the different things related to the Year of Mercy is to go to jubileemercy.org. It's a wonderful website, and we're adding more and more resources all the time. Right now, we have the Jubilee of Mercy sort of one word at a time. So each week we've chosen one word to talk a little bit more about in the context of mercy. And you can find those on the website. They can be actually put into parish bulletins
for people
who are interested. I think it's a great way. If you go through that, it's a weekly reflection. I think that's really important. Father Luke Camelli has written a book, which is a commentary on the Gospel of Luke, which is the Gospel of Mercy. And that will be out in the next month or so. And so I think that's a perfect companion for this Year of Mercy. During Lent, there'll be Days of Mercy and Forgiveness, which last year in the Archdiocese, we did something similar. We called it Festival of Forgiveness. It was sort of 24 hours of the Sacrament of Reconciliation offered at various places. And so that's going to be an opportunity, especially for people who have been maybe away from the church for a while, to come back and receive the mercy and forgiveness of God. And then for the Polish communities and Hispanic communities, they've developed a number of events as well. So I would go to jubileemercy.org and take a look at all of those. And we also have I'm just thinking now on Mondays, every Monday, we have what we call Mercy Mondays. And so that's a sort of a social media focus on mercy. And so you'll find that on our Facebook account and on Twitter, and it's on jubileemercy.org. There'll be a little blog, and then there'll be on mercy, a reflection on mercy, some follow-up posts that you can look at and links, and a challenge. And so every Monday we're challenged in a practical way to live out mercy. So this is a couple of ways that we've got to really enter in this year to the year of mercy.
Are there some pilgrimages being offered too?
Yes, there are, and the pilgrimage sites are actually listed on jubileemercy.org. There is a tradition, especially of during these years, and especially Jubilee years, of going to places like particular shrines or particular parishes that are related to mercy. And so we've got those listed out, and there is also I don't have time to talk too much about this, but there's also an indulgence associated with those pilgrimages. And so all of that information is on jubileemercy.org, including a list of all of the pilgrimage sites.
Deacon Keith, could you just give a quick overview of what does a pilgrimage involve? So if someone says, oh, a pilgrimage, that sounds great, but they're not going to the Holy Land. They're
right.
Doing it right here in the Archdiocese.
Yes, and I think in those kind of pilgrimages, there's I almost call them pilgrimages of intent. So you're not going to a parish just to take pictures. You're not going to a parish just to visit. Is that there's something associated, and particularly now we talk about the Jubilee of Mercy, something associated with mercy, and you're going to reflect on that. And so you go prayerfully, and you it's like a journey. And that's why one of the spiritual practices we talk about is the labyrinth meditation, you know, which is one of the ways in which people who couldn't go on pilgrimages to the Holy Land mm-hmm. could go on a journey. And so really it's going to these places, praying and reflecting on some area of mercy and praying to the Lord when you get there.
That's really exciting, I think, because to me it's involving the entire archdiocese. Parishes can do it at different levels. Folks can be involved and be, you know, do the pilgrimages. They can go to the website and learn more how to do different things. So during this Jubilee of Mercy, there's the possibility for the entire archdiocese to get behind this.
Yes. I think one of the most exciting things that the Archbishop is really he's really keen on, I think it's a beautiful thing, is he's encouraging every Catholic in the Archdiocese of Chicago to adopt a corporal or spiritual work of mercy, and to really focus on, practice those throughout the entire year. And in that way, the whole Archdiocese can be a channel of God's mercy for the people of Chicago.
Well, that'd be great. I'd love to see that, like in the Catholic New World.
I think they'll have some
examples.
They will have something on it, and there's on the website there'll be a card, like a little downloadable card that gives you the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and a brochure so that people can learn more about it.
That's great.
So, tell us again where people can find out more about the Year of Mercy.
Sure, I would go to www.jubileemercy.org. And that's the website that we have for the Year of Mercy, and they can explore all of the different ways that they can participate, all the different ways their parish can participate, and also attend diocesan events.
Okay, they can look in their own parish bulletins as well,
yes.
And many of those would include some of the resources that you've been talking
yes.
about. So that's really exciting. We've been talking this morning with Deacon Keith Strom and from the Office of New Evangelization about the Year of Mercy or the Jubilee of Mercy, an exciting time for the entire Archdiocese of Chicago and for the Universal Catholic Church.
And thank you so much, Deacon Keith, for talking to us about this and giving us practical advice on things we can do to participate in this. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I'll come back anytime.
And learn more about our office on marriageandfamilyministries.org. And remember, again, jubileemercy.org for more information about the Jubilee of Mercy. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk to you next month on Marriage and Family Matters.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for the Catholic Community of Faith. You can stream our programs live or download past programs by going to our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV.